This evening we are looking at Article 12 of the Belgic Confession. Article 12 of the Belgic Confession, you can find that on page 859 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnals. Article 12, the creation of all things. We believe that the Father created heaven and earth and all other creatures from nothing, when it seemed good to him, by his word, that is to say, by his Son. He has given all creatures their being, form, and appearance, and their various functions for serving their Creator. Even now, he also sustains and governs them all, according to his eternal providence, and by his infinite power, that they may serve man in order that man may serve God. He has also created the angels good, that they might be his messengers and serve his elect. Some of them have fallen from the excellence in which God created them into eternal perdition, and the others have persisted and remained in their original state, for by the grace of God, the devils and evil spirits are so corrupt that they are enemies of God and of everything good. They lie in wait for the church and every member of it, like thieves, with all their power to destroy and spoil everything by their deceptions. So then by their own wickedness they are condemned to everlasting damnation, daily awaiting their torments. For that reason we detest the error of the Sadducees, who deny that there are spirits and angels, and also the error of the Manichaeans, who say that the devils originated by themselves, being evil by nature without having been corrupted. I now invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Psalm 104. Psalm 104 will be our psalm this evening as we consider how God created all things, heaven and earth. And boys and girls, as I read through this psalm reflects the 7 days of creation that we have in Genesis 1. And so as I'm reading through, see if you can pick out where this psalm is celebrating and praising God for his creation on each of those days. But before we turn to God's word this evening, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your holy word, it's our prayer that you will give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 104, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chamber on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, the rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons, the sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you form to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, in our last section of the Belgic Confession, we took a look at the Trinity and how each member of the Trinity is fully God. And now we move on to what is accomplished, or the work that is done by the Trinity, specifically tonight, creating and providing. As the Trinity, God the Father is the one who is given credit for the act of creation. The Father and our creation, the Son, is given credit for being our Savior and our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is the one who is given credit for being our Sanctifier. However, even though creation is accredited to the Father, it was and still is an act of the triune God. God in three persons. The Father is the one speaking, let it be, and creation comes into being, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who is hovering over the waters, and it's accomplished by that Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 3 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Burkhoff makes the point that all things are at once out of the Father, through the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. And that means that creation and providence are activities or works of the triune God. And since the triune God created all things and upholds all things, the Christian view of God and creation and providence is very different from all other religions, such as Islam or Judaism, as well as the Eastern religions or New Age religions, paganism, naturalism, environmentalism, or whatever ism you're looking at, Christianity, the Christian faith, the Christian perspective is very different. What do I mean? Well, Earth is not our mother. Mother Nature or Mother Earth. We don't worship creation. We don't regard trees or cows or any other animal as part of creation as holy or a manifestation of the sacred. God is not in the trees or in any part of creation in a new age or in an Eastern sense of being religious or spiritual or communing with nature, as somehow communing with the divine. There's a distinction between God as the creator and the creation that he made. God created all things. He is distinct from creation, and we can't confuse him with creation. The reason creation has value is because God is the one who created it, not because God can be directly identified with it, or he's in the trees, or in the water somehow. But rather, he is the one who has made all things. As Christians, we're called not to be worshipers of creation, but rather stewards of creation. We praise and worship God for his creation, not as the creation. And that's what we see taking place as we look at Psalm 104 this evening. A praise to God for his creation, for his creating, and for his providing. And as we look at this psalm, what we see is details and sharpness throughout this psalm of praise. The structure of this psalm, as I mentioned, it follows Genesis 1. It follows the days of creation. And in a general way, it's covering each day of creation from the first day, let there be light, to the sixth day, and even the seventh day of the land producing, God making man, and then God resting and receiving the glory that is due him. And through it all, God, the Creator, is worshipped and praised. So tonight, as we look at Psalm 104 together, we're going to look, first of all, that he created heaven and earth. Secondly, that he sustains and governs them all. And then third, we'll wrap up our time together by looking at how he also created the angels. And so first, he created heaven and earth. In the Belgic Confession, we state and confess together that we believe that the Father created heaven and earth and all other creatures from nothing when it seemed good to him by his word, that is to say, by his Son, the living Word of God. So how does Psalm 104 reflect the 7 days found in Genesis 1? Well, Genesis 1 begins with day 1, let there be light. Genesis 1 verse 3 through 5 is God's command, his word being spoken, let there be, and light coming into existence. In Psalm 104 verse 2, we have him covering himself, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. We move on to the second day of creation where God brought sky and water into existence. Genesis 1 verse 6 tells us, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Stretching Psalm 104 verse 2 through 4, he's laying the beams of his chamber on the water. He makes the clouds his chariot. We're talking about him stretching out the heavens like a tent. He's laying the beams of his chambers on the waters. Clouds are his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. So there you have the idea of the sky being pulled into this psalm as the Lord is being praised for the great things that he has done. Day 3, boys and girls, what happened on the third day of creation? Genesis 1, 9 through 13, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. He also said, let the land produce vegetation, And that's exactly what we have being celebrated in verses 5 all the way through 18 of our psalm. It's praising God for the land, the mountains, the springs, the grasses, the plants that He is bringing forth, that He is creating. Day 4. Sun, moon, stars. Genesis 1 verse 14, God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. Verse 19 of our psalm, you made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You made darkness and it is night when all the beasts of the forest creep about. What happened on day 5 of creation? That's when God created the fish and the birds. Let water teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. Verse 25, here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and the Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. There's ships that go back and forth, this Leviathan, this great sea creature is living in the and playing in the sea that God has created. Now, we don't have birds mentioned here in verses 25 and 26, but if you look back to verse 12, there we have the birds mentioned. Besides them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. You have birds building their nests in the cedars of Lebanon that the Lord plants and waters, and storks make their home in the fir trees. Here we have a celebration of what God has created, a poetic way of praising God for all that He has made. Heaven and earth and everything in it. But it doesn't end there, because not only has God created all things out of absolutely nothing, ex nihilo is the Latin phrase there, but also, as we look at secondly, He's also the one who sustains and governs all things, keeps all things going, so to speak. And that's our second point this evening. He sustains and governs them all. Even though the world came into being at a specific time with an absolute beginning, God declared it and it was, all of creation is also in the process of becoming. What do I mean by that? God is still in the process of creating. This isn't a new idea to traditional Christian teaching. God's continuous creation, or creation doing what it was created to do, obeying that original let it be command. Now, another way to say this, instead of continuing creation or creation in the process of becoming, we often describe it as providence. God upholding all things as with His fatherly hand. It's not like God just was the watchmaker who wound up the watch at the beginning and now has let it go and whatever happens, happens. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, is intimately involved with His creation. His continuous creation. Creation doing what God created it to do. Him upholding and sustaining it. Even now, Belgic says, He also sustains and governs them all according to His eternal providence and by His infinite power, that they may serve man in order that man may serve God. Nature is growing. Creation is growing. The plants and the animals are living and growing. They're not the same ones that God created back in the day. They've multiplied. They've been fruitful according to His original command. God is the creator at the very beginning. And He is just as much the creator every time a baby is born. Or a tree adds another ring. Or a cornfield produces a harvest. First it is God creating out of nothing. Ex nihilo, let it be, and it was creation. But He is still active in creation, this continual creation, His providence, Him upholding all things as with His fatherly hand. Look at how that's expressed and celebrated even in Psalm 104, our passage. Look at the two ways that God is at work. We've already experienced what God has done and is doing, creating and providing. But in this psalm, there's a switch. There's a switch from what God has done in the past and a switch to what He is currently doing right now. In the past, this psalm is praising and celebrating what God has done. He has set, you covered, it flowed, past tense, past things. But in the present, we have Him making, He makes, He gives, He makes the grass grow and plants for man. He's not only the creator back in the beginning, but He is also the sustainer and the provider right now. In this next section of our psalm, we see it even clearer. Day 6, what did God create and make on day 6? That's the day He made animals, and that's the day He made people. Genesis 1, verse 21, or 24, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind. Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. Let us make man in our image. And it was so. Verse 21, the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of all your creatures. Verse 27, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. Verse 14, it's God who is causing the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that He may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. Those are the basics that we need for survival. When you're thinking of the ancient Near East, wine, these are the three basic food elements or food groups, you could say. Wine is what they drank. It was safer to drink than the water. Oil was their sunscreen or lotion for their face in a hot climate. And bread was their basic food. And here God is the one providing for their needs, the one who is actively providing this for them as the creator and sustainer of all things. And when you think back to the days of creation, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And you get to the creation of man in the image of God, and it was very good. Look at verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. This is the purpose of creation. This is our purpose, to glorify God, to bring Him the praise and the glory. You think of the seventh day, that is the day that God rested. God rested, it's a day for rest, a day for worship, and that's exactly what the end of this psalm is doing. It's a declaration of praise and worship to God as the creator of all things, giving Him the glory. The one who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. God is the creator of all things. Heaven and earth. He is also the sustainer of all things. And now as we wrap up our time together this evening, we look at our third and our final point, that He is also the one who created the angels. He created the angels. Psalm 104, verse 4. He makes winds. He makes his messengers winds. Now, some translations, instead of messengers, they translate that as he makes his angels winds. And maybe you have that in the Bible you're looking at in front of you. There we have a fleeting reference to angels, to the messengers, the winds who are his messengers. Now, just to put things into perspective, out of the 35 verses of Psalm 104, declaring the praises of God, covering all of his creation, there's only one verse that slightly mentions angels in a passing way, described as wind. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, doesn't even mention angels at all. So the question is, when we look at Article 12 of the Belgic Confession, which is talking about God's creation of all things, why does it spend more than half of the article talking about angels and demons? Out of all of our confessions, Belgic, Heidelberg, Canons, this is the only specific reference to good angels and to fallen angels. So what's going on here? Why does it spend so much time on that when it's talking about creation? Well, during the Middle Ages, or the Dark Ages, the church had become preoccupied with spirits. Angels and demons, both inside and outside the church. People were told again and again to flee the devils and his demons, and they were assured that there were good angels who surrounded them, and there was a lot of superstition interwoven with the ideas that came from the Bible. Magic and witchcraft was practiced. Even some of the popes were guilty of consulting necromancers or fortune tellers. So that's the situation during the time of the Reformation. And just to give you a little bit of an example, the Reformation took place and these superstitious fears were going on. And one of the reformers, Zwingli, he mentions how Martin Luther, we're going to sing one of his Advent hymns in just a moment, how Martin Luther literally blamed everything on the devil. And so Zwingli says, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, he says, when a house caught on fire, he, Luther, was inclined to ascribe the spreading flames more to little devils who blew on them than to the wind. So that gives you an idea of the place that the demons and angels and little devils, that they were given credit for everything that was going on at that time. And that's the time when the Belgic was written. Now, today, in comparison, in the entertainment world, we see that same interest in the supernatural or the spiritual or the magical. It's an interest in the mysterious or the unknown, whether it's TV shows or movies. We see magic and myths and witches and wizards and werewolves and vampires. And unfortunately, that's where we get our idea of angels and demons from, instead of scripture. I think it was back in the 90s when there was that popular TV show, Touched by an Angel. Or when you think about demons or being possessed, you could probably think of a horror movie that was out at some point. And so instead of looking to entertainment to influence our ideas of what we think when we think of angels and demons, what does God's Word tell us? Well, we confess that God created angels good, that they might be His messengers and serve His elect. So the job of angels is to serve God's elect. They are God's messengers, messengers of the Most High, bringing messages from God. You can think of messages that were brought from God to Abraham or the other patriarchs or to Mary or to Jesus. Psalm 104, verse 4, he makes his messengers winds there. Hebrews 1, verse 7 mentions messengers and interprets them as angels. And so their primary job is to serve the elect, to serve believers, to serve you at God's command. So does this mean that we have guardian angels? Well, Psalm 34 verse 7 tells us that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Psalm 91 verse 11 through 12, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, when you ask the specific question about guardian angels, it's not so much the fat little cherubs that we see in the Hallmark store as much as it is God's cherubim and seraphim ready to, at his command, protect the believers and the elect. What about fallen angels? We confess that in Article 12 as well. Now, even though angels were created good, some of them fell from excellence, the excellence in which God created them. And this includes Satan. Satan is a fallen angel. He's described as an angel of light. But Scripture doesn't tell us when angels were created or when this particular fall happened. But we do have hints in Scripture that it was pride and a desire to be like God that caused Satan to fall. 1 Timothy 3 verse 6, he must not be a recent convert or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. And so Satan and fallen angels are, first of all, enemies of God. They're also, as we see, enemies of everything that is good and the church and every member of the church. And so believers, Satan attacks the church, not by causing its members to be demon-possessed, but he attacks the church by distorting and denying and attacking the gospel, attacking the truth. So you have the father of lies attacking the gospel truth. Jesus points this out when he says in John 8 verse 44, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so Satan, as the father of lies, those demons who follow him will attack the church whenever and wherever the gospel is proclaimed, the truth is proclaimed. And we confess that. They lie in wait for the church and every member of it, like thieves, with all their power to destroy and spoil everything by their deception. But what we need to keep in mind when we are talking about Satan and his followers is that this threat is real. It'd be naive of us not to realize that it's real just because we can't see it. But we also need to keep this threat in perspective. Satan is not divine. He's not God. He's not equal with God. He's not as powerful by God. He's part of creation. He was created by God. Whenever you talk about good versus evil, it's not a balance of opposing forces or evil being as strong as good is, but rather when we're talking about God and Satan, here we're talking about the difference between the creator of the entire universe and one disobedient member of that creation. Now, they are fallen members of creation, which means that Satan is not present everywhere like God is. He's not omnipresent. He's strong, but he's not all-powerful. He even knows a lot of Scripture, but he's not all-knowing. Demons can't possess Christians. You're already full of the Holy Spirit. They can't cause us to sin. They can't put evil thoughts in our minds. They are subject to the power of Christ, the one who owns us, who is our master, whom we belong to. Think, what is your only comfort in life and in death? We belong in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So, this enemy that we profess in Article 12 of the Belgic Confession, this enemy is strong, but still part of creation. causes destruction, but only within the limits that God has set. God is still sovereign. God is still on the throne. Think of the song, "Though the wrongs seem oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." And when we, as believers, as Christians, profess what we've professed this evening with Article 12 and Psalm 104, that God the Father is the creator of heaven and earth, it's actually a battle cry against the enemy, Satan. A declaration of our allegiance to the creator of all things, our creator, our sustainer, our savior. A declaration that he created heaven and earth. That he governs and sustains them all. And that he is also the one who created the angels. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, the heavens declare your glory. The skies above proclaim your handiwork. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. All of creation declares your glory, O Lord, and we, as the crown of your creation, join in that everlasting song of praise, blessing you with all that we are, singing to you as long as we live, singing praise to you, our God, while we have being, blessing you, our Lord, praising you. For you are great, are greatly to be praised. Lord, help us to live each and every day in light of who you are as our creator and sustainer. Live our lives in dependence on your provision, celebrating and praising you for the great things that you have done for us as your people. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.